James chapter 1, beginning with verse number 5. But I think we'll just go ahead and read, beginning with the first verse, and get the context again, and just remind ourselves of the context. Beginning with James chapter 1, verse number 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you need to make a difficult decision, there's various ways we approach difficult decisions. You may make your decision based on a gut feeling. Just feel like that's the right thing to do. You may flip a coin. Say, I don't know what to do. Heads or tails. You know, heads will do this. You know, that's another option. A better option would be to get on your knees and pray and ask God for wisdom. But you know, as you look over your life, or even over the last week, or over the last month, or maybe the last year of your life, and you've made some major decisions in your life, maybe you look back on it and say, well, I made a good decision, or you might look back on it and think, kind of messed that one up. But ask yourself that very important question. What did you do in preparation for making your decision? Did you just rely upon gut feeling? Did you get counsel from a friend? Did you flip a coin? Or did you spend time on your knees with God and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need to know what to do. You know, this morning as we look at this, if you would have to say, well, you know, I think that there's probably been a lot of times that I've not really sought the Lord like I should for my wisdom, then the message we're looking at today is just for you. James is talking to us about that very subject of making right choices. Making right choices and how to make right choices in life. And in the context of what James is talking about here, he's laid a foundation. He's dealing with trials. He's dealing with the troubles of life. He's dealing with the things that attack us. It may be temptations. It may be problems. It may be sickness. It may be loss of job. It may be some heartache. It may be a family issue. But there are problems that come on us all around us. And he says, as the problems of life attack you, you are going to have to make some decisions. And as we laid the foundation for this in the last message, many of you weren't here, but let me just review slightly the things we talked about last week. But as we look at this morning, we're going to look at three different things. We're going to look, first of all, at the problem. Then we're going to look at the solution. And then we're going to look at a warning that James gives us from God. Okay? First of all, the problem. The problem was lack of wisdom during trials, particularly during trials. But life, as I said, is full of trials, problems. We all have lots of them and more than we'd care to hang on to. We've got problems, issues, stresses, distresses in life. And in verses 2 to 4, last week we talked about steps to maturity. How can we grow up spiritually? God is putting things there for us to help us to grow spiritually. And we said that first of all is we need to choose to be joyful during our testing times. And we said the way that we can choose to be joyful during the testing time is to understand why I'm being tested. It is for my maturity. It is to help me to grow up. It is to help me to be stronger. And therefore, we can look at it with joy and say, well, you know, this isn't the most fun thing I've ever gone through in my life, but I'm thankful that God is doing a work that I'm going to be able to mature and grow if I will learn from my testing. That's the big key. We've got to learn from it or it's not going to help us any. Then secondly, we pointed out that we need to understand that the proving is a process. This testing or proving time is a process. It's something that's going to take time. It's something that goes through steps during our life and during the time, and it takes time. And he says that it is a process. It is testing our faith to make our faith in God stronger. So when you go through a trying time, whether it be a sickness or whether it be a loss of job or whether it be a heartache or a family problem or whatever it is, God wants you to draw closer to Him. And we've said many times that our trials can be stepping stones or they can be stumbling blocks. We can trip over them or we can become stronger. We can step up on it and raise up to the next level, like going up the steps, or we can trip over and fall on our face. It's our choice. And God wants us to be growing and building. And so it is a process of strengthening our faith, and it produces the need for patient endurance. And we said there that the patience there in verse number 3, when he says that knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, he's talking about the enduring time that it needs to let this trial go through. Because all of us, when we get into the hot fire, we want to jump out. You know, we talked about being in that melting pot where the gold was being melted. And if the gold could talk, the gold might holler and say, "Yeah, it's hot in here, I want out." And he jumps out of the pot, and he's never going to be purified if he's not in the pot to be melted. And so it is with us. So that patience is that enduring time. And we need to endure it. And then we said we need to make sure we never hinder the process. We let that enduring endure the trial without trying to escape it, without trying to run away from it. Let the purifying take place in our lives. And if we do that, what does God tell us in verse number 4? He says that it'll make us so that we are perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. We said perfect means to come to the end, where we've completed our course. So he says it will be perfect and entire. Entire means with lacking nothing. All the parts are finished. The whole thing is done. And he says that we will lack nothing. So there's perfect, entire, wanting nothing. They all go together. They all kind of say the same thing, but they're all from a different angle. God said, I want you to be mature. Now, this maturing process takes time. And it's unpleasant many times to go through those enduring these trials. And trials are part of that maturing process. Now, it's during these trials that many Christians make foolish choices. You're in the middle of a trial, and you have to make some decisions, and you make a rash choice. I'll give you one example. When a woman loses her husband, maybe he passes away. All right. So her husband passes away, and she's got to make choices in life. And while she's in the middle of her grieving, there are people out there in our wicked world that like to take advantage of widows. And they'll, you know, come to her with, you need to buy this, you need to do this. And if she uses just her gut feeling or based on her emotions, she'll make wrong choices and waste money, or people will steal from her or rob and deceive her and really make a lot of bad choices. That's just one example. But, you know, every time we go through a trial, there's choices to make. Do I try to get out of this trial? How do I endure? How am I going to be able to cope with this? What are we going to do? Am I going to sit down and worry and fret and cry and weep? Or am I going to just depend on God? What am I going to do during this trial? It's a hard trial. How am I going to be able to handle this? And so there's choices that we have to make. And it may be, you know, that there are foolish choices that can hurt our marriages. They can hurt our family. It can hurt our walk with God. And it can hurt our reputation. All kinds of foolish choices we can make. And we need to be very careful not to do that. Do not make any major decisions during a trial of life without crystal clear wisdom from God and solid counsel from a godly pastor. We really need wisdom before we make choices, especially big choices. I'm not talking about whether you buy, you know, one brand of cereal or another. But the major choices in life, you need wisdom. Even the little things. You know, God cares about the little things as well. I didn't mean to undermine that. God does care about the little things in life. But we're talking primarily this morning about the bigger things in life. And we often lack wisdom in making these decisions. And when the heat of the trial is on, and there's a huge temptation to escape and to get out of the problem, God wants us to patiently endure until we're mature. And during these times, when we lack wisdom, we need to just stop and ask ourselves some questions. You know, what is wisdom? Why do I need wisdom? Where do I get wisdom? And James is about to answer those questions for us here. But as we look at that question, the first, the primary one we need to understand this morning is, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? I've defined it many times for you, but let me define it again. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. It is the God-given ability to make right choices. It isn't a gut feeling. It isn't, you know, what I grew up believing. It isn't something that I learned in a book. It's the God-given ability to make right choices. God will direct us to help us to make right choices. The God-given ability to make right choices. It's the opposite of doing our own thing. It's the opposite of making our own choices. It's depending on God. It's seeking God's wisdom for our direction. Now, folks, the honest truth is wisdom is far more important than most of us think. Wisdom is very, very, very important. And I want you to turn over with me to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. I'm going to point out several, not all, the book of Proverbs is full of references to wisdom, but we'll look at several, about 10 or so different references in Proverbs. Just very briefly, point out these verses to you so you can see the significance of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 is where we're going to begin. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 33. Proverbs 1:33 tells us that wisdom gives us safety and a quietness from evil. Proverbs 1:33 says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Flip the page over to chapter 2 and verses 1 to 6. Here we see, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, ye, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest hers for silver, and searchest for hers for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and shalt find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So wisdom comes from God. It comes from the Scriptures. It comes from studying. It comes from searching God's Word. God, show me from the Bible what I need to know to lead me in the right way. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse number 10. It says, "And when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the evil man," and so on. So he says here that wisdom will protect us. It'll keep us. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13. Proverbs 3 verse 13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." It'll give us happiness and joy in life. Proverbs chapter 8 verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 8 verse number 11. "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Did you catch that? He said, wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired, all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. He said, wisdom is more important than anything else that you might desire in all of the world. Wisdom is more important than anything. More important than a good job. More important than a good education. More important than, you know, anything else that you might desire in life. Wisdom is more important than that. It's at the top of the list. Look at verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 32. "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." And then, so it says we're going to be blessed. Wisdom is talking here in chapter 8. The whole chapter 8 is wisdom talking in a personification. Personification means something that's not alive is acting like a person. Alright? So wisdom is acting like a person and talking to us, and she describes her characteristics, and she says, if you hearken unto me, that you will be blessed and kept by my ways. Then also verse 34, it says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Wisdom said, you hear me and watch for me daily, I'm going to bless you. We need wisdom. Daily, daily we need wisdom. Look at verse 35. It says, "For whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." You find wisdom, you're going to find life. Wisdom leads to eternal life in Christ. Wisdom is the way of a good life, and it is the way of finding favor in the sight of God. Wisdom is important. Chapter 9 and verse number 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. He says here to fear God, to have a holy respect and honor for God is the first step toward wisdom. Because, see, if you don't have a respect for God, then you're not going to spend time in God's Word. You know, the major reason that people don't read the Bible is because they don't have any respect for God. If you really looked at God and said, God is the awesome creator of the universe, and He wrote this book, and He asked me to read it so I'd know how to live, then you'd read the Bible every day. But if you don't have that kind of respect for God, then it doesn't matter. If I get a chance, I will. If I don't, who cares? It's just another book. It's not just another book. It's God's book. And God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear God, you will want to spend time in His Word because the Word is full of wisdom. And He gave it to us to help us. So we need to fear God. It'll help us. Then also we see in chapter 10, verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So the fools in life, they're going to die because they don't have any wisdom. They need wisdom to make right choices. Chapter 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The word lowly means humble. He says, with the humble is wisdom. Why do we need to be humble to have wisdom? Because we have to be willing to say, God, You're the sovereign. I am nothing, God. I can't make right choices. I can't make the right decisions in life, but God, You know all things. You've got all the answers. And God, I humble myself before You and I submit to You. Please show me what to do. See, unless you have that kind of an attitude, you're not going to get wisdom. We've got to humble ourselves before God or else we won't accept His wisdom. Because we'll have the idea that, I don't need God. I got all the answers. I can figure out my own choices. I can make my own choices. You know, I can decide what kind of car to buy. I don't need to ask God about that. I can decide what kind of a job to get or what kind of place to go or what to do and buy this. And I know how to handle my problems in my family. I don't need God. I can do it myself. And a lot of people look at life that way, and they make a lot of foolish choices because God is full of wisdom and they are full of foolishness. In ourselves, we make foolish choices. God is all wise. We have to humble ourselves before we're going to seek His wisdom. Proverbs chapter 16, just two more. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 16. How much better is wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? He said, wisdom is better than gold. You know, we all know the value of gold. Gold is precious, worth a lot of money. God says wisdom is far more valuable than gold. Far more valuable than silver. It's the most valuable thing in the world. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 15 gives us a different angle on it. But Proverbs 29 and verse number 15 talks about rearing our family. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. God said that the rod and reproof are that which gives a child wisdom. But a child left to himself to do what he wants to do brings his mother to shame. So God is telling us here wisdom is very, very, very important. Wisdom is far more important than we can comprehend. We need wisdom. Wisdom is the mind of God in helping us make right choices. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. Every decision I make in life will either be a decision that I make on my own foolish wisdom or on God's supreme wisdom. There's no other options. Either I choose or God chooses. And I let God choose for me. And so that's what we need. We need God's wisdom. And we noted there in Proverbs 2 and verses 1 to 6 that wisdom comes from searching the Scriptures. Last night I was listening to a message. The preacher was using an illustration about, he was preaching in Philippians where he says that we're to work out our own salvation. And he used the illustration of owning a gold mine. He says, you can own a gold mine and do nothing with it. And you can go around saying, I own a gold mine. But it doesn't do you any good because you didn't do anything with it. But you have to work the gold mine in order to get the gold out of the gold mine and have the riches, to enjoy the riches and use the money that's in there. And he says it's the same thing it is with salvation. You've got a gold mine in your salvation. If you trusted Christ your Savior, He's given you all kinds of blessings and promises and benefits. But if you don't work it, and it just sits there and say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Well, what's it done for your life? Well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. All right, you haven't worked out your salvation. Working out your salvation doesn't mean working for it. It means putting it into action. Take advantage of all that God has offered us. God has offered us His wisdom. The book is full of wisdom. The book of Proverbs especially is full of wisdom. And God gives us the Bible to give us wisdom so that we can know how to make right choices. And God works through His Word. Excuse me. He works through His Word to help us and strengthen us and give us the wisdom and guidance we need. So the better you know the Bible, the easier you're going to find God's wisdom for directing you in life's path. We need to spend time in the Bible. We need to spend time with God. And that's the key to getting wisdom. Now, we saw the problem. The problem is we lack wisdom. The solution, back in James chapter 1, the solution is very basic, but one that we often miss. Notice what he said in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, what are the next four words? Or five words. Let him ask of God. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. There's another place in James where he says, we have not because we ask not. Many times we don't get wisdom because we don't even try to get wisdom. We don't even think to pray. We don't even ask God, God, I need wisdom. We just go out there and make our own decision, or we listen to some salesperson and he's really convincing and boy, it sounds right and I think that's the right thing to do and my gut feels good about it. So yeah, okay, I'll buy it. Did you pray? No. I remember one preacher, he was saying that he was going to buy a car. And the salesman, you know, giving him all the sales pitch he could give him. And this is a grown man, you know. And so the salesman says, oh, what do you think? You going to buy it? He said, well, I got to ask my father first. An old man going to ask his dad first? And he says, no, I got to go talk to my father, my heavenly father, and ask him first. And he spent time praying about it before he made his decision. You know, the salesman thought he was nuts, but that's okay. The world doesn't understand. But seeking God's wisdom is very, very important. Very important. We need God's wisdom. And God says if we ask, we can have it. When is the last time you seriously, earnestly asked God for wisdom before you made a choice in life? And it does us good to stop and think about things like that. When is the last time you can honestly think back and think, you know, I remember making that choice and I remember very specifically praying, searching the Scripture, asking God to give me wisdom, show me something from the Bible that would help me make a right choice before I made that choice. Do we search God's Word? Say, God, there's got to be something here that'll help me and give me wisdom and guidance. If not, we're missing out on a precious blessing that God has offered to us. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask. So we need to ask God for wisdom. Before we will bring ourselves to ask, we must first humbly see the need for wisdom. Proud people don't see the need for wisdom. Self-sufficient people don't see the need for wisdom. I make my own decisions. I don't need God to help me. I need to pray. I'm a little baby. I can make my own decisions in life. Proud, not humble, self-sufficient, selfish people think they don't need anyone. But you know, until we're willing to say, I lack wisdom. I need God's wisdom. We're not going to get it. That's the key to asking for wisdom. We've got to have a need. We need to see that need. And admitting that need is probably the biggest obstacle that we face. God, I need you. I can't make the right decision by myself. I need wisdom. I need wisdom. There's a huge difference between asking God for wisdom and asking God to approve our plans. You know, if we come to God and say, oh God, you know, I'm going to make this choice. You know, I've thought it through, and my gut feeling is that I need to buy this thing, or I'm going to do that. And God, is that okay with you? You know, that's just coming to God and saying, all right, I've made up my mind, God, please put your stamp of approval on it. Remember, that was the kind of thing that the people did with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was after the captivity began. The Babylonians came in, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, they burned down the city, they destroyed the temple, they broke down the wall of the city, and Jeremiah and a handful of other poor people were left under the charge of a man named Gedaliah. He was the governor. And everybody else was either dead or went to Babylon. But God saw fit to allow Jeremiah to stay alive and didn't have to go to Babylon. And the people, Gedaliah was assassinated by a wicked man. And so the people that were left they panicked. And they said, we got to make a decision. What are we going to do? I think we should go to Egypt to escape, because otherwise the Babylonians are going to come down here, find out Gedaliah is dead, and then they're going to kill all us because they're going to think we did it. And so they said, well, let's go ask Jeremiah. And they came to Jeremiah and they said, Jeremiah, please, you ask God and ask God for us, for wisdom to know, should we go to Egypt or not? And whatever you tell us, Jeremiah, we will do. We promise. We'll do what you tell us. Whatever God wants us to do, we'll do. So Jeremiah went to God. God said, do not go to Egypt. If you go to Egypt, you're going to die. You stay here, I'll protect your life. You will live. And so Jeremiah tells him, God says this. He said, if you go to Egypt, you're going to die. If you stay here, you'll live. They said, we knew you'd say that, Jeremiah. We're going anyway. Why ask God? See, they asked God, but they didn't really want to know what God wanted. They wanted God's approval. They wanted God's approval on, we're planning on going to Egypt, God. Please tell us it's okay. And sometimes we come to God the same way. We make up our decision. We make our plans. And then we come, God, please, this is what I planned. This is what I'm going to do. Please, God, put your stamp of approval on it so I can feel good about it. That's not wisdom. That's not getting wisdom. It's when we come to God before we make our decision and say, God, I don't know what to do. I come to you, God, give me wisdom. Show me something from Scripture that would help me to make a right choice. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college, a man from a Bible camp came to me and said, Scott, I'd like you to consider and pray about becoming a counselor at our camp this summer. I said, I can't do that. I don't have any money. I got to work so I can pay my school bill. Otherwise, how am I going to pay my school bill? I can't do that. He said, well, pray about it. I said, yeah, okay. And I forgot all about it. And he came to me about 2 weeks later, and he says, I got to know a couple days from now. What's your decision? I said, well, I don't know. I just kind of pushed it away. I didn't even think about it. And he says, pray about it. I said, all right, I'll pray about it. And I did. And I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I got to make a choice here, and I don't know what to do. If I take this job as a counselor, I'll make almost nothing. I can't pay my school bill. I don't know what to do, God. And as I was reading through in Proverbs, I was reading in Proverbs chapter 15, and I got down to verse 16, and it says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And God gave me peace right there. He said, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And God just gave me peace in my heart that God would take care of my need. And so I went to the man, Jim, and I said, Jim, God's given me peace. I'll be a counselor. He says, good. I said, I still don't know how God's going to provide my school bill, but I'll be a counselor. Just a short time later, I had a car. It wasn't new by any chance. It was an old car. And it was worth about $700. And I drove it to a football game across town. Our school was playing another school with some football game. And I parked it alongside of the road. And I was in the stands rooting for our team. And then somebody comes to me, hey, you got a problem here. Somebody ran into your car. So I get out there, and I don't know what happened. Somebody pushed in the gas instead of the brake or whatever. I was parked on the side. They were parking in behind me. And instead of and they rammed into the back of my car, pushed mine into another vehicle in the front, so I got crunched from both ends. It was still drivable, but it looked terrible. The boot was all broken open, leaked, I didn't know what to do. I felt crushed inside. Well, the insurance company came to me, and the guy came and says, listen, he said, how about if we just strike a deal here? He says, how about if I give you $700 and you keep the car? And I said, okay. God gave me my $700, put it in my school bill, paid my school bill. And when I went home on school break, got the old big hammer out, banged the car back out so it was halfway decent, and drove it the rest of the time I was in school, all banged out like it, but still ran. So the Lord met my need in an unusual way. But I tell you all that story to show you that was one of the times, and I wish I could say that I always seek God for wisdom, and I haven't. That was one of the times I did, and God met my need in a very unusual way, but God met the need. Now, as we think about these things, God says we have not because we ask not. And God promises to supply wisdom if we will ask for it. Notice there again in verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And notice the next thing he says, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. All right? Now, he says here, he gives to all. Everybody that asks God for wisdom, God says, I give to all men liberally. I give it to all. The word liberally there is an interesting word. It means that God has given it not the idea of freely so much as without charge, but it means to be generous. He give it to all men generously. And the word abradeth means to chide or to laugh at or to mock. You know, when you come to God, God's not going to say, oh, that's a dumb thing to ask. What'd you ask for that for? God's not going to do that. You know, sometimes we're afraid to talk to people about our burdens because we're afraid they're going to laugh at us. You ever had that problem? I have. You don't want to tell anybody because they might think you're kind of dumb. God never does that. God will never mock you. He'll never laugh at you. He'll never upbraid you. He'll never say, that was a dumb thing to ask for. God won't do that. He said he gives to all men generously and never mocks us, never laughs at us. You can come to God with the most intimate problem and God says, I'll take care of it. I'm not going to laugh at you. You can come to God with whatever the burden is and God will never laugh, never mock you. He will take it seriously and God says, I will give you wisdom. I'll give you wisdom. God gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If we will ask God for wisdom, he will give it. As I studied this verse, I noticed that God did not say how he would give the wisdom. See that? Doesn't say anything about that. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But he doesn't tell us how he's going to do that. How does God give us wisdom? Well, we've already saw from the book of Proverbs that God gives us wisdom through his word. It's through the scriptures that God gives us wisdom, and then God gives us peace through using the scriptures in our lives. And so the better we know the Bible, the better we're going to be able to have wisdom and understand the wisdom of God. We need to spend quality time in the Bible each day. A little poem that I've read before to you, but it's been quite a while back, many years ago, I think. But it goes like this. I supposed I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit and miss, now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis, certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, the 12th of Romans, the 1st of Proverbs. Yes, I thought I knew the word. But I found a thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. Ye who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look, try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. Was a poem written by Amos Well. very well put that there's a whole difference between knowing a bit about the Bible and spending time in the Bible. We need to know the book and spend time with God in the book. God promises to meet our needs as long as we will meet the conditions that He's about to explain in the next verse. Verse number 6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven as the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." God gives us here the warning. The warning is that we must not waver between two opinions. He says, don't waver between two opinions. Now, what's he talking about this? You know, we must not have an unsettled mind as to whether God's way is the best way. You think, well, I got this feeling down inside. I know this is the right choice to make, but I don't think that's what God wants, but I really think it's the right thing to do. And, you know, there's this conflict in our heart between, should I do what God wants me to do, or should I do what I feel like it's the right thing to do? And there's a conflict. He said, if we ask God, if we come to God and said, God, would you please give me wisdom? It's like those men that asked Jeremiah, pray for us, Jeremiah. They were lying. They came to Jeremiah and said, they knew very well they were going to go to Egypt. They just wanted God to put a stamp of approval on it. And they didn't really want to know. They had two opinions there. They kind of wanted to know what God wanted them to do, but they didn't really want to do it if it wasn't what they wanted to do. And that's what he's talking about here. If we come to God and say, God, I really need your wisdom. You know, I want to know how to fix the problems in my family, God. Would you show me from the Word how to fix the problems in my family? And God shows you what to do. You say, ugh, I don't want to do that. That's too hard. Me do that? No, I can't do that. God says, don't ask if you don't want to know. He says, don't have two opinions. If you come to God with a double opinion, this way or that way, and you're not sure whether you're going to follow God or not, God says, I'm not going to give those kind of people wisdom. That's not the kind of person that's going to get wisdom. I like how one commentator put it. He said, if a man wants God's wisdom and he asks from God, then turns around and yields to the circumstances of life, he compromises God's ability to deliver him through the trial. He said, you can't change your mind. You can't say, well, I want to know what God wants, but then I'll make my own decision afterwards. No. If we're going to ask for wisdom, we need to do what God wants. And you know, sometimes we know what the Bible says, and we say, but I just don't like that. I don't like that. But we know that's what God wants. So we've got to make a choice. God said, if you're not going to follow my word, if you're going to have double-mindedness, you're not going to have a heart to do what I want, I'm not going to give you the wisdom. But if you will, if you'll rely upon God, God will give you the wisdom to make the right choice and to help you through the problem or the trial or the issue of life that you need help with. God promises to give us that wisdom. And He is able to perform what He promises. God is almighty. God is all-powerful. And whether we need wisdom to know how to endure, whether we need wisdom to make a critical decision, whether we need wisdom to respond in a Christ-like manner, or wisdom to deal with a problem biblically, or wisdom to know God's direction, we need to trust God. To believe that God knows best. God will not give wisdom if we have a double mind. James describes this person as one who wavers. He talks about them as being like a wave of the sea. Now remember, James was Jesus' half-brother. They grew up when they were little in Nazareth. When Jesus was old enough to be part of his ministry, he moved his family to Capernaum on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And there on the northern shore of Galilee, they would have seen many storms. And James was certainly aware of the storms that would come down. Because Galilee was in a very deep little pocket, the cold air from Mount Hermon in the north would come swooping down through that valley, and as it did and it hit the warm temperatures, it would stir and churn, and Galilee would just instantly become a raging, wild place, and the storms in the sea were wild. And that's why we read many times in Jesus' ministry there were these sudden storms that would come on the sea. James knew about that. James said, a double-minded man's unstable. He's like a wave of the sea. Up one minute, down the next, up one minute, down the next, up one minute, down the next. Can't make up their mind what they're going to do. God, he says, God's not going to give wisdom to that kind of person. He gives wisdom to the person who asks in faith and believes and doesn't go up and down. Just says, I believe God's going to do what's right. I trust God. God said to do this. I'm going to do it. That'll be okay. God's going to take care of the situation and leave it in God's hands. We ask ourselves an important question then, at least one that comes to my mind. How can I increase my faith? God says you've got to ask in faith. Not double-minded. How do I increase my faith? Well, let's go back to the scriptures. What does the Bible say? Where do we get faith? How do we get faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, we get faith by reading the Bible and studying the Bible. The better you know God and His Word, the more faith you're going to have in God. The less you know about God and His Word, the less faith you're going to have in God and His Word. So it just is a logical thing that the better you know the book, the greater your faith is going to be able to be in God. So we need to spend time in the Bible. Not just reading it so we can pat ourselves on the back, but saying, God, would you teach me today? Would you teach me? Show me something that'll help me and strengthen me today. And read it to learn. Read it to gain. Read it because you want to read it. This morning I mentioned how that God spoke to my heart from the Psalm 23 this morning as I was meditating upon that before I got up. And reminded me as the under-shepherd that my job is not to make you eat. My job is to feed you. You got to make the choice yourself. God's a wonderful shepherd. He says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. But not one word in there says that He puts it in my mouth and makes me eat it. That's a choice the sheep has to make. And, you know, as we come to this passage this morning, God says, I'm offering you wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask of me. I will give you wisdom. It comes from my word. It comes from knowing me. It comes from drawing close to me. I give it to you. But you got to take it. Just like Proverbs said there in Proverbs 2, he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for hers for silver and searchest for hers for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and shalt find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You've got to want it. And folks, this morning, I leave you with this thought. God offers you wisdom to help you in the trials of life. It's there for your taking. But you've got to believe God, and you've got to ask for it. You've got to spend time with God in His Word and say, God, would you please feed my soul? Teach me, guide me, give me wisdom. Help me to know your mind. God will give it to you. The choice is up to you.